This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stachow. When a logging company in Columbus County, North Carolina, applied for a permit to emit tons of methyl bromide into the air, residents turned out in droves to register their complaints. The compound is hazardous to humans, not to mention the ozone. Last week, the state's Department of Environmental Quality responded and announced much stricter rules and requirements. It was a move that thrilled community members and environmentalists. This action comes amidst ongoing concerns about chemical pollutants like Gen X in both our air and our waterways. Adam Wagner is the regional environmental reporter for the Wilmington Star News. He has been following these stories, and he joins me now. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
What exactly is methyl bromide? What is it used for, and why is it a health concern?
So methyl bromide is a really powerful chemical that basically kills off insects and other issues in soil, in logs, that kind of thing. And it's used in North Carolina in the logging industry before logs are shipped overseas. China requires it in some instances. And it's a health concern because at pretty small levels, it can impact the central nervous system, the respiratory system, all kinds of things. The European Union has taken steps on it. The UN has phased it out. The EPA has phased it out for almost all uses except for things like the logging industry.
Okay, so it's still allowed in the U.S. for fumigation, but we know that it is toxic to humans at low levels. It can cause ozone depletion as well as a number of human health risks. So why has there suddenly been a concern over methyl bromide being released in North Carolina, and how has it been used historically here?
Yeah, so there are several facilities that already are using it, have been using it for years, but there are these two large permits right in a row, the Malik Brothers one that we're discussing here, and then a TEMA one in Wilmington that were, the Malik was the largest in the state, TEMA was also pretty big. And TEMA came first.
And TEMA is...
It's a company in Wilmington that wanted to use methyl bromide right around the port of Wilmington, sort of close to a residential district. And their permit was for as much as 60 tons a year. In the last days of the public comment period, some Wilmington residents saw that, began to raise concerns. Over 1,100 comments were submitted in that last week to DEQ. And the company ended up pulling its permit request after the landowner actually said, I don't want this occurring on my property, basically.
So that was the story with TEMA. And then we have the Malik Brothers request. They're an Australian-based company. How did concerns over their permit come to light in Columbus County?
Yeah, so Malik is, as you mentioned, an Australian-based company that has operations, is based, their U.S. headquarters in Wilmington. And they had asked for a permit offering to emit as much as 140 tons a year of methyl bromide. So Lisa Sorg at North Carolina Policy Watch did the first reporting on this, and she wrote a really, really good in-depth story. And in the process of reporting that, she found this video from a woman named Ashley Daniels who lives in Wilmington, but her entire family lives in Columbus County. She's from there. She knows all kinds of people there, and she posted this Facebook video that went pretty viral, expressing a lot of concerns about this facility, about what it would mean for the residents, about a lot of the environmental justice issues, that kind of thing. And so from there, the ball just sort of started rolling.
So this 140 tons a year is a lot, and a lot more than any other company had used, about 33 to 40 times the amount currently emitted statewide, raised a lot of concern from Ashley Daniels' video, and community members came out and expressed those concerns. How were those concerns received?
So there were two public meetings. The first one, and it started in a smaller room. They moved to a larger room. There were enough people that they ended up having a second one. And at both of those meetings, a lot of the comments were about people saying, you know, we here in Columbus County matter. We know that we're not a high-income community. We know that there are environmental justice concerns here, but that we need you to listen to us, basically. And they ended up, DEQ ended up taking action on this. They did not just go ahead and sign off on the permit like a lot of the residents had feared would happen. Earlier this week, they announced that they were going to take steps to require methyl bromide companies to capture and control up to 90% of the chemical, and also designate it as a toxic air pollutant.
So it's important to note that the area where the permit was being requested is Delco, North Carolina. It's a small, low-income community with lots of minority groups, a large minority population. So there were some concerns regarding environmental justice. Tell me a little bit about those and about Delco.
Yeah. So Delco, it's a very mixed community. There's a lot of African-American people. There's some Indian people. There's some Hispanic people. And the proposed facility is also less than a mile away from a middle school, which raised an awful lot of concerns among the people there. There's some other schools nearby, but this middle school in particular was an issue for the residents. A member of the County Board of Education stood up and said, "We didn't know about this. If we had known about this, we would have stood in the way of it from the beginning, because it is so close to a school and this chemical is so hazardous."
So instead of making a decision about the permit, the Division of Air Quality has announced these new standards requiring 90% of emissions to be captured and controlled. And this is pretty significant, right? We have become the first state in the nation to require capture and control.
Yeah, this is a major step on this particular chemical. They're also looking for the State Environmental Management Commission to develop an outline for what these facilities should be doing. And they're asking the State Science Advisory Board to set a level on air quality.
Many are attributing the attention that this has gotten to Gen X and ongoing concerns that residents of Eastern North Carolina are having about the presence of Gen X in their water. What is the latest on the Gen X story? What are local residents dealing with right now?
Yeah, well, to go back half a step, I think there is probably something to that attribution. I think that people in Eastern North Carolina, especially right now, are sort of ready to leap into action on these environmental issues. And I think to some degree it can be traced back to Gen X. There's been other stories in recent history in that region in particular that have had similar things happen, but Gen X sort of galvanized these forces. So the next step on the Gen X story is going to be that the EPA is going to go to Fayetteville in mid-August. They're going to speak with – they're doing these sort of community sessions across the country on PFAS chemicals, which is the class that includes Gen X. They've done one in New Hampshire. They just did one in Pennsylvania. They're about to do one in Colorado. North Carolina is going to be next. So they'll meet with officials first, sort of try to chart a path forward. Then they'll have a listening session in the afternoon. I think it's August, I think it's the 14th. It might be the 15th. And those are going to be pretty interesting. There's been a lot of concern about this EPA and how it will handle things like this, but they've said that they're developing toxicity values for Gen X. They said under the previous administrator, Scott Pruitt, that PFAS chemicals are a priority for them, and we'll see if that continues.
So the EPA has a planned visit to Fayetteville to speak with residents, as you said. What is Chemours doing? I know they broke a long-time silence recently, have started offering some in-home filtration systems. Tell us about their response and where things stand.
Yeah, so Chemours had sort of, they came down to Wilmington right after the story broke and met with officials, and then from there on out, it was basically radio silence from them. Even we'd email them and we get this very canned response about them working with state and local officials, but then we'd have local officials telling us that they weren't getting a hold of Chemours either. Chemours had a public meeting, I think it was in late June now, with residents around the plant, and there was a lot of anger there. Obviously, people are concerned that this company has imperiled their water. And Primoris has offered to install these granulator activated carbon in home devices, which the State Department of Environmental Quality still hasn't signed off on yet. They've said, you know, you're running 6 pilot systems. We want to see what happens with those pilot systems before we do anything else, before we sign off on it and say this represents an answer. But Chemours says we want to get these systems installed as soon as possible for these homes that are already sort of, they're on bottled water. They say that they're living like they're camping. We want to fix this as soon as possible.
So in about 30 seconds left, Gen X isn't the only story about the Cape Fear River. You reported earlier this week that the EPA determined Cape Fear River water is not swamp water. Tell me briefly what the conversation was around this designation and how people are responding.
Yeah, this is also seen as a win for environmentalists in eastern North Carolina. DEQ had submitted a request that would have lowered environmental standards in the Cape Fear River. The EPA basically said, no, you didn't prove it. You didn't prove that the river moves slow enough to be swamp water. It's important to note that request came under the previous administration. This administration, even though it submitted the paperwork, does not support that request.
And residents are thrilled. The Southern Environmental Law Center are thrilled. They've said they've tracked the potential reclassification, and had the proposal been approved, it would have allowed lower concentrations of dissolved oxygen and pH in the river, potentially impacting aquatic life. So this is being seen by environmentalists as a win. We will keep following your reporting. Adam Wagner is a regional environmental reporter for the Wilmington Star News. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Just ahead, we will talk to a public policy expert who says federal higher education policies helped American women become first-class citizens. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.